jobs outlook, slightly warmer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Wall Street will be watching closely when the government releases its latest unemployment numbers this morning. Analysts are looking for an increase of around 0.3%. That would actually be an improvement from the big chill that was gripping the job market earlier this year. The experts believe a big share of the jobs lost in June will come from the struggling auto industry, especially shutdowns at General Motors. And despite the expected warming trend, the unemployment rate is expected to be just shy of 10%, the highest level in 2.5 decades. Investors are bracing for this morning's crucial U.S. jobs report. Britain's FTSE has stumbled 0.75% at this hour. Germany's DAX and France's CAC 40 are lower by more than 1%. Asian markets ended mostly lower today. Wall Street will be wrapping up its holiday-shortened week after modest gains yesterday. The Dow rose 57.7%. Online advertisers will announce self-policing guidelines today for how they collect and use data about you and me. The announcement's aimed at heading off tougher federal rules being considered by Congress, Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
The new guidelines address growing privacy concerns over the collection of personal information by tracking people's web browsing habits. The data is sold to advertisers who want to reach a more targeted audience. Starting next year, about 5,000 companies ranging from Google to Procter & Gamble will abide by a set of self-regulatory principles. One big change is that companies will now use ads or web links to alert consumers that they're being tracked. Another requires advertisers to get consent before collecting sensitive information like medical records, prescriptions, and Social Security and bank account numbers. There's also a ban on collecting information about children under the age of 13. The $8.5 billion advertising industry says the guidelines provide transparency. Consumer advocates disagree. They say self-regulation is meaningless, and what's really needed is congressional legislation. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
On paper, it looks like a marriage made in heaven. Banks need lots of money, and private equity firms have got plenty of cash. But not everyone's overjoyed at the idea of private equity getting involved in banking. Today, the FDIC announces some new rules on how bank buyouts by private equity firms should go. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Private equity firms have already bought at least two banks, and they're hungry for more. Patricia McCoy teaches law at the University of Connecticut. She says some in Washington are worried about that.
One of the concerns about private equity is that it has a short investing horizon, which would focus on short-term profitability. The question is, does short-term profitability come at the expense of long-term health of the bank?
A private equity firm buys a bank with a little of its own capital and a lot of debt. To pay the interest on that debt, McCoy says the bank needs to generate good profits.
Higher profits always come with a price. They imply higher risk.
And taking too much risk got banks into this mess. McCoy says the FDIC will likely tell private equity firms if they buy a bank, they'll have to hold on to it for a minimum period. That should encourage firms to build their banks into solid businesses before selling them on. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Superbrands, Brandweek's annual ranking of America's top 2,000 brands. You can Google Brandweek Superbrands for more information.
Cities across the country are suing online travel companies, claiming the web-based firms are shortchanging them out of tens of millions of dollars in hotel taxes. The stakes are high, especially for cities like San Antonio and Fort Lauderdale that bank heavily on tourist dollars. Danielle Carson reports.
Say you book a hotel room for $100 on a website like Orbitz or Expedia. You pay the hotel tax on that. But the website pays taxes on a discounted price it negotiated with the hotel, say $80. It pockets the difference between the tax you paid and the tax it paid and considers it a service fee. But some 40 cities don't see it that way.
governments throughout the United States have been cheated by online travel companies.
That's Stephen Wolins, a lawyer who represents several cities and counties. He says hotel operators are required to pay taxes on the full retail price of the room. And while the online agencies aren't putting mints on the pillows, they're doing everything else.
The online travel company is the only entity completing the entire reservation process. They are charging consumers not only the rate for the room, but the taxes for the room.
But Brian Stagner, a lawyer with Travelocity, says several courts disagree.
Online travel companies simply don't own operator control hotel rooms. Five federal courts out there said that we're not hotel operators and that we're not liable for local occupancy tax.
The online travel firms are building their defense on another front. Stagner says most hotel tax laws were written before the internet, so localities are, in effect, trying to impose a new tax on web-based companies.
These are Flintstone ordinances that the cities are trying to apply to a Jetson world.
So Los Angeles Times consumer reporter David Lazarus says the solution is rewrite the tax laws.
There are going to have to be some new laws that clearly define that anyone who is selling the room is responsible for the whole nut as opposed to paying taxes simply on the wholesale value of the room. And that's one of the things that's going to have to be addressed here.
For cash-strapped cities, the lawsuits offer a way to make a nice chunk of change. In February, Anaheim, the home of Disneyland, won the first round in a lawsuit which ordered online travel sites to pay $21 million in back taxes for the past 8 years. The websites are challenging that ruling. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
And coming full circle from where we started, back to the unemployment file. Kmart is trying to offer a hand to Michigan's unemployed. The Financial Times reports the company will give people registered as unemployed with the state a special card that's valid for 6 months. It's good for a 20% discount on Kmart's private label brand and some basic groceries. The chain was founded in the state in the early 60s. Michigan has the highest unemployment rate in the country at just over 14%. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Keep up with all the financial buzz on Scott Jagow's Scratch Pad. You'll find it at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.